It's a real blessing to be here in these services. I looked forward to coming for some time now. And I told Brother Titus that I usually, at the Olmsted Church, as the Lord leads, I usually on Sunday morning preach a topical message. And then on Sunday night, I've been preaching Bible prophecy. I've been preaching this since the first Sunday night of January. And so I've got five times to do what I have been assigned to do. And then on Wednesday night, I usually preach a verse by verse. But I do this, of course, on the leadership of the Lord, at least every 2 years at Olmsted Baptist Church. And we go through this, and my people never become weary or tired of hearing about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that one of the great events that we can all look forward to is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles, you would please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And I'm going to begin with reading verse 13 through verse 18. And I realize that there are a lot of different views on eschatology concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, but everybody, they do agree that Jesus Christ is coming. It's when and what all is going to be involved that becomes controversial with some people, but I believe, and I refer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ before the tribulation period, coming in the air for His people, and we will, of course, notice that as we go into this message here tonight. In the 13th verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul is writing here to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I want to preach tonight on the subject of the rapture of the saints. The word rapture, of course, you won't find that anywhere in the Bible, but it is the Greek word for caught up in the 17th verse, if you'll notice, means to snatch away. If you'll notice here in verse 17, it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up." This carries with it the idea or the thought of being caught up, lifted up, or snatched away. The English word for rapture means to be carried away with joy and with love. It will be a great time or a great occasion, and I know that when you believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the saints, you believe in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, which can occur or take place at any time. We'll mention that later on as we get into our preaching. I believe the Apostle Paul even was looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, even during his day and his time. There are a lot of scoffers today and mockers concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would even say, and Peter gives us this, "Where is the promise of His coming?" They do this with the idea to scoff or to mock. Perhaps one of the most neglected subjects among many today is the subject of the rapture or the catching up of God's people when the Lord Jesus Christ comes in the air. Now, many willfully neglect it. And as I said, many scoff. I remember several years ago in pastoring a church, and I was announcing on the radio that I was preaching on this subject, and I know that one Baptist preacher there nearby said that he more or less had the idea that I ought to be preaching about something else, that I ought to be preaching about salvation or various other things. And of course, what he perhaps didn't fully understand, that this will be the consummation of our salvation. It will be the completion of our salvation, which will be, of course, the redemption of our bodies, or the changing of our bodies, which will be the consummation of our salvation. I feel that it is a very important subject for our day. If we as New Testament Baptists should be longing and looking for anyone to come, it ought to be the Lord Jesus Christ. I talked with some of the gentlemen beforehand here, and I grew up as a young person. I grew up in a rural area, and we didn't have, as you would have today, the transportation to get around as swiftly as we do today, and there wasn't this kind of visiting. You couldn't by no means seem like go the route that I've gone today, maybe 350 miles or 360 miles in just a little while. And I remember as a young person, one of the things that I always desired was that we would have company and they would have children and they would come and we'd be able to play together. And I remember many times always looking and seeing, listening to see if I could hear if there was a car coming. And of course, we lived about 6 miles off the blacktop, and we drove a 32 Dodge, and we pulled it with mules more than we did. Then we drove it in and out because it was a dirt mud road, and we stayed stuck part of the time. And I can remember with anxiety looking for and listening for the coming of company. Now, that's really the way that we ought to be as children of God that have been redeemed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to be just as anxious for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ as we would be if it was somebody coming to visit us that we loved dearly. And I believe that, so this is one of the important subjects of our day. Now, we look for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ at any moment. It could even happen tonight during this service while I'm preaching. The Lord Jesus Christ could come even during this service. It is referred to, I believe, as the day of Christ. There are two statements that are made in the Word of God. One is the day of Christ, and the other is the day of the Lord. The day of Christ always carries with it the thought of a blessing. And the day of the Lord always carries with it the thought of judgment or of the wrath of Almighty God. But we are looking for the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it ought to be a motive, and it ought to be that which would cause us and give us a motive for godly living and service. There's a verse that comes to my mind right quickly. If you'll go over to the book of 1 John, and there in the third chapter of 1 John, listen to what the Apostle John says here in 1 John chapter 3. It says this, "Beloved, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Now look, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Now the third verse is what I want you to see. I believe that looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is a motivation for godly living and for serving the Lord and being faithful to Him. Look what he says in verse 3. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. What he's talking about is the imminent return or the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as I mentioned earlier, and I want to bring these out and to mention these, there are several views that are believed when he is coming in relation to the tribulation period. There are those that believe and call themselves post-tribulation rapture theory. This has to do with time. This position makes the rapture and the second phase of his coming the same. This teaching does away with the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this teaching denies any future fulfillment to the prophecy of Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24 through 27. They give to it a historical fulfillment. Many believe that this has already been fulfilled or has already taken place. It also, the post-tribulationist idea, it denies God's program for Israel. And God definitely has a program for Israel that has not been fulfilled. Spoken of in Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 24 and 25, and then beginning in Revelation chapter 4 and going through verse 19. It can even lead to hatred of the Jews. It propagates the teaching that we are presently enduring the tribulation period. But folks, I'll say this, and I'll probably have to say it. I will not have to, but I'll say it again. We are not in the tribulation period, and Satan is not bound. And we know that definitely from the period in which that we live, and which that, of course, that we read from the Word of God. Then there is another theory or idea, and that is the mid-tribulation rapture theory. This also has to do with time. They teach that the rapture takes place at the middle of the 7 years tribulation. That means that the saved have to go through that first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. This teaching does away with the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. They teach also that the saints are seen on earth after Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1. They also teach that the rapture is in connection with the sounding of the seventh trumpet and the catching up of the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. And they do not make a distinction between Israel and the Lord's churches and the saints of God. So this is a thought or an idea. The post-tribulation idea, the mid-tribulation idea, and then there is the partial rapture theory that has to deal with subjects. They teach that all the saved will not be raptured at the same time. They teach that only those watching and waiting for His return, they teach that some of the saints will be in the tribulation period. But I don't believe the post-tribulation theory. I do not believe the mid-tribulation theory. And I do not believe the partial rapture theory. I believe that the Word of God is very clear from place to place. And I believe the Bible teaches clearly the pre-tribulation rapture of the saints. That all of the saints will be raptured or they will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air before the tribulation period begins or before the beginning of the pouring out of the judgment of God's wrath. Now, I've done preached you one sermon. That's one, okay, that I usually preach. Okay, now, there's one thing that I want us to notice tonight about the rapture, and I think this is very important when we're studying concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is referred to the second coming. What I want you to understand is there are two aspects of that coming, or there are two phases of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, as we would notice here in our verses that I read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we notice the place of the rapture. Where does the rapture take place? Now we know that, and we'll notice four things tonight that I want us to notice. First of all, I want us to think about the place of the rapture. Where is the rapture going to take place? If you'll look with me in verse 17 of the fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians, it says this: "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Now here it is. "To meet the Lord in the air." To meet the Lord in the air. The place of the rapture is going to be in the air. It is, and it's going to be in the air when the Lord comes for His saints. I realize and know, and I stress this because we'll need to recognize this, because the Lord willing, Sunday morning I'll be preaching on the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the second aspect of the second phase of the second coming. There is the rapture, and then there is the revelation. So it is important that we establish in our hearts and minds that the place of the rapture is in the air. All the saints will be caught up into the air. What he's referring to here in this is that those that have died in Christ, of course, will come back and be resurrected. We'll talk about that a little bit later when we talk about the people. But we're trying to establish that the place of this rapture is in the air. The earth is not ready at this time to be occupied by the Lord. And the earth will not at this time be occupied by the Lord. There is going to be a time that He is going to come and He is going to occupy this earth. But at this time, He's just coming in the air. And that is the place of the rapture of the saints. Now, at the second phase of His coming, He will return to the earth. But that's going to be the revelation. That's going to be the message of the Lord willing I'll be preaching Sunday morning. Now, what we see here, and I believe is brought out in this 17th verse, it says, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Have you ever looked into the clouds and thought of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I can remember as a young child, I can remember before and when God began to convict me of salvation. I can remember then, after God saved me by His grace, and I began to look for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the marvelous things and privileges, went all the way from driving a 32 Dodge, being pulled by mules, and flying in an airplane. And you know, one of the marvelous things about that, I don't mean immediately I went from one to the other. It took years to go to that. But the first time that I ever was able to fly and to take any kind of it was in a small plane, but that didn't get you up very high. But then when I got into the bigger plane, and you know, you went up into the clouds. And when you could get up into the clouds, and you could get even above the clouds, and you get up where the sun was shining, and here's a cloud down here. Just recently, I flew to a meeting and flew to Detroit, and the day that we was flying, when we left Nashville, it was clear. And when you went up there, when we got to Detroit, there was a big cloud over Detroit. And you couldn't see anything down below. And I became very, I'm always nervous. I know they fly with instruments, but I go by sight. And I become very nervous when you start going through them clouds. But I tell you, one of the things here is the Lord's going to come in the clouds. If you'll notice, and I will have this here before me in Acts chapter 1 and verse 9 through 11, When the Lord was taken up, he says here in Acts 1 and verse 9, and when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up. Now look, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, you know how it is. There's the place where the birds fly. There's the place where the astronauts fly. And then there's the place where the Lord dwells. And that's referred to as the third heaven. There is the heaven, and then the third heaven. And so what we see when the Lord began to go up, they could see him until he went into a cloud and said, and the cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. There was a cloud that received him as he went up, and he's going to come again in the cloud. And I realize that what a joy. The same manner, he said, the like manner he was taken up, a cloud received him, so shall come in like manner. He's coming in the air and the clouds, and that coming is imminent. Look in Philippians chapter 3, if you would like to turn there. In Philippians chapter 3, when Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, and notice what he says there in verse 20 and 21. He says, for our conversation, our citizenship, is in heaven. Now look, for whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Where is he coming? We know he's coming in the air. He's coming from heaven. He's coming through the clouds. And he said, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things for himself. I believe that what we need to also see, and I've already said this, is Paul also, even in his day, was looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Go to 1 Thessalonians again. In the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians, and there in chapter 1 and in verse 9 and 10. Now this is Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. He said, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now look, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And I believe that Paul also was waiting during his day, and he was looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he wrote to the Corinthians, he said, so that you come behind in no gift, he said, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me say this. That waiting is not waiting for a bus, like waiting for a bus. It is not like what some people have done through the years and declared this is when the Lord's going to come, and they all get together and meet and wait. We have that ever so often. You know, we go through that. Somebody says that they set a date. I don't remember exactly when it was, a few years ago, set a date, and many people really got rattled over that. I mean, you know, there was so much talking about the Lord's coming and he's coming, and some of the people even got together and sort of waited for his coming, and you know what? He didn't come. He didn't come at that time. It wasn't his set time. But what we've got to remember is, and I want you to keep this in mind now as we go along, and that is the place of the rapture. We want to establish that. The place of his coming for the saints is in the air. Now, the second thing that I'd like for us to think about concerning the coming, the rapture of the saints, is the person of the rapture. Now, who is the person of the rapture? The place of the rapture is in the air, but who is the person of the rapture? Look at verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Now, here it is. It says, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Who are we looking for? We're looking for the Lord Himself. We're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one. He is the preeminent one. He is the one that we will focus our attention upon. I believe we'll focus our attention upon Him when He catches us out. Not only in the rapture, but I believe that when we get to where we're going, I believe that He will then also remain and be the focus of our attention throughout the ages to come. So, I underline the place is in the air, and the person is the Lord Himself, here in verse 16. Now, let's go to a scripture, and I think of this often. I am in a better position and think more of the coming of the Lord today than I did when the Lord first saved me. Now, that doesn't make the truth. It doesn't make it any more true. But what I'm saying is, the more that you serve the Lord, and the Lord walks with you and leads you and directs you, the more that you want to be with Him. The love that you have for a person causes you to want to be with that person, to be with the one that loved you in eternity and saved you in time by going to the cross of Calvary and dying for you. But now the thing of it is, we feel that way about Him, and He feels the same way about us. Go to John chapter 14. And look with me there in John chapter 14 of the Gospel of John. And notice, and this is pertaining to, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what it says here in this 14th chapter of the Gospel of John, and you know the words, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And then He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." And that's when He ascended, or when He went into heaven. And look what He says in verse 3 though. "And if I go and prepare a place for you," look, "I will come again." Now what's the purpose of that coming again? Look at that verse. "And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now the Lord doesn't have all of us. You know who takes a lot of my time is my wife. Now I'm not complaining. Now don't get me wrong. I mean it was made that way. I mean the Lord did it that way. My children take a lot of my attention. And you know that if you work at a job, you know you put in a lot of time on a job, and that takes a lot of your time. And then a lot of times people, you know, get into things they ought not to get into and take a lot of time like that. And so there is a sense in which that we say that we desire to be with the Lord, and I believe that we do desire to be with the Lord, but the Lord desires for us to be with Him and to have us out of this life and have us with Him. You know what we're going to do through eternity? Well, praise the Lord. I mean, we're going to be in His presence, and we're not going to have these things. Especially one of the things, we're not going to have the flesh that we have, and we're going to have a glorified body that will be equipped, and you can't sit all day in church. I mean, you can, but it's hard when you do that because of the physical aspect. But it's going to all be different then. And I thought about how that the I is mentioned three times in this verse. I go, I will come, I am. Notice, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. The person of the rapture is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The one that died for us at Calvary, and the one that is making intercession for us now at the right hand of God. He is the one that's coming. He's the one that we'll be looking for. For Paul told Titus, look in Titus chapter 2, and there in verse 13 of Titus chapter 2 and verse 13, and it says this. Now notice, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. In other words, looking with anxiety. There's a certain longing. I believe in those that are saved, it's like this. There's a threefold thing. I believe we're looking for His appearing. I believe that we're living for His appearing. And I believe that we love His appearing. I believe these three things are found in the lives of those that are saved by the grace of God. And there is a great anxiety. We're going to see the Lord face to face. That's when, of course, we know that our faith, we have seen Him through the eyes of faith. He has revealed Himself to us through the Word of God and through faith. But one day we're going to see Him face to face. Paul said in 2 Timothy, and there in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, when he was writing to young Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, listen to what he said. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Now notice, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. In other words, the Lord's going to appear. He's coming. He's coming Himself. There's a looking for His coming. There's a living as though He's coming. And there's a love for His coming. And so, in other words, we wait. We wait for His coming. Now, I'm not looking for anybody else. And I know I'm dwelling on this because this is the whole key. The place is in the air. The person is the Lord Himself. And the Scriptures makes it very clear. He is the one. He is the one that we are looking for His coming. I thought of Paul when he was writing the church at Thessalonica. And he said, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And this is 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul was writing to the Corinthian church about the Lord's Supper, he said in verse 26 of the 11th chapter, he said, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. And then I underline these three words. Till He come. Till He come. He's coming. His coming is certain. Now, as I said earlier, it carries with it, the coming of the Lord carries with the thought of blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing it's going to be. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Now let's just notice about three places in the letter to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians. And let's notice how he's speaking of here in these verses of Scripture, and what a blessing it's going to be when he was talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and there in verse 8, he said, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Look in the third chapter of 1 Corinthians, and there in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what it is. Then look in the fifth chapter, and there in verse 5 of the fifth chapter, it says, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. It carries with it the thought of a blessing. Now look in the thought of Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 1. And there in Philippians chapter 1, I want you to notice the verse that is very familiar to all of us, and that's verse 6. Philippians 1 and verse 6, it says this: being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Look in verse 10. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Look in verse 16. They, one, preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So the day of Christ begins at the rapture and continues to the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage of the Lamb in heaven. So two things that we've noticed right quickly. We've noticed the place of the raptures in the air, and the person of the rapture is the Lord himself. Now the third thing that I want us to notice, and that is the people of the rapture. The people of the rapture. Who are the people that the Lord is coming for? I believe that it's very clear from the Word of God that he comes for his people. In other words, they belong to him. They are his people. Look in Matthew chapter 1. If you'll notice there, and I believe that this gives us clearly as to for we see who his people is. Matthew chapter 1, and there in verse 21 of Matthew 1, listen to what the Word of God has to say here. It says this: and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Now look, for he shall save his people from their sins. In other words, what we see here is he comes for his people. These are the only ones that are going to be raptured or that are going to be caught out are those that belong unto him. Now I realize and know this, and I know that this church knows this truth. The reason they are his people is because they were given to him before the foundation of the world. God the Father chose them in him, and therefore they belong to him. He said in John 14:3 that I previously read, that where I am, there ye may be also. The Father gave them to Christ and the gift of the Father to the Son, and these are the ones that he came to die for, and he finished the work of redemption for, and that he awaits the time to return for them. And that will be the consummation or the completion of their salvation. Now there's two conditions of these people when he comes for them. Go back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's notice the conditions of these people when he comes for them. First of all, there are those that have died in the Lord. They are the children of the first resurrection. Look in verse 13 with me. And down through 15. Now what had even happened during Paul's day, there was a misunderstanding concerning the second coming of the Lord. But look here in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain of the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. What he's referring to here is these that have died in the Lord. They are disembodied spirits. I'm amazed sometimes, and I know that perhaps you are too, because I know all of you have been in the Lord's churches where you've been taught the truth of what really takes place or happens when a person dies. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. In other words, you become a disembodied spirit, and you go into the very presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now these, all these here in this 13th verse, these had died with hope of the resurrection and the hope of the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are going to return with Him at the rapture. What takes place, and you all know this well, what takes place is when a person dies, when death comes to them, immediately the real person leaves that old body. And the real person, that old body remains. That's what we see in the casket, and that's what we carry out to the graveyard and we bury. But the real person is not there. They are gone. And they're in the presence of the Lord. And they're with the Lord. And they will be with the Lord until the Lord Himself returns. And when He returns, they'll come with Him. And this is what He's speaking of here. And I know that what He says here is that concerning them which are asleep, and that just means those that have died in the Lord, He said that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. There's nothing wrong with sorrow or with weeping when one of your loved ones die, but you don't weep as though there's no hope, because there is a hope, and that hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. That hope is the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know that even when your loved one dies and goes to be with the Lord, it's only going to be just a little while when Jesus comes, and they're going to come with Him, return with Jesus at the rapture. Then what's going to take place? I think Paul really explains it over in the book of Corinthians, and there, 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, and this is a wonderful thought here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and you know these verses there in 51 and 52, Paul says, and you know, now remember the word there in Thessalonians says, you know, them which are asleep. In 1 Corinthians 15, 51, he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. What's going to happen? But we shall all be changed. Now look, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound. When the trumpet sounds, what's going to happen? The Lord's going to come. And what's going to happen? The dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. We know that the Bible has very clearly told us that then we will receive a body fashioned like unto His glorious body, a body to enter the portals of heaven. Paul spoke with confidence. And I believe that we also ought to have this same confidence. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you know it talks about if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands eternal in the heavens. But in verse 8, Paul says, we are confident, now look, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. So when the person dies, when they die, they immediately are absent from the body and they immediately go to be with the Lord. Now they return with Him to be reunited with the body. God will bring with Him. For look here in this verse, in verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians 4. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and we believe that, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. So the first condition of the people of the rapture are those that have died in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then there's the second group. The second group are those that are living. Now they are not absent from the body. They are present in the body. At the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is verse 15 and verse 17. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Then, verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. So we see the first condition of the people of the rapture are those that have died in the Lord Jesus Christ. Their bodies have been put in the grave, and they have gone into the very presence of the Lord. But then, that may be our case. You know, we may die tonight. We may die tomorrow. But yet our hope is in Jesus Christ. And even though that we die and are separated from this body, we know that we will go to the very presence of the Lord, and we will stay there with Him. And when He comes back in the air, then we will come back with Him. But you know, we may be alive. We could be alive when the Lord comes. I don't want to get into this, but sometimes, you know, people say when they have for instance, they have cancer or something, and someone says that you've only got 3 months to live, or you've only got 3 weeks to live. And you know, sometimes people will say, well, maybe the Lord will come. What are they saying? They're saying, if the Lord comes, then I won't have to die and be resurrected. I'll be translated. It's what they're saying. And you know, I've heard a lot of people say that, and it's never happened. And I've thought about this, and I've thought about this often. For a person that's saved by the grace of God, dying's not hard. The hard part's living. The hard part's living. Now, I'll admit, God gives you grace to die, and God gives you grace to live. But when it comes your time to die and to go to be with the Lord, then there's grace there, and He takes you right on out of this life. So He says, "We which are alive and remain." In other words, we all the saved, living at His return, being alive twofold. We're alive in the flesh, and we're alive in the spirit. Now those... there is the person of the rapture, and there is the people of the rapture, or those that the Lord has saved. But then, there is the purpose. The fourth thing that I want us to go into tonight is the purpose of the rapture. The purpose of the rapture, I believe, has already been clearly demonstrated to us in many of the scriptures that I have read. Is, first of all, He comes for His people to take them from the earth. All the believers. His people. All the believers. The earth will be a place where He will fully manifest His wrath. And His people that He saved by the grace of God are not objects of His wrath. They will be taken out. So this is a very, very important thing. And I know there's scripture. I know there's Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10. And there's the scriptures in Corinthians that says that we're not objects, or that we're not those of God's wrath. And God will take us out before He begins to pour out and manifest His great wrath here upon this earth. We will be gone. But then, not only is the purpose of the rapture coming for His people to take them from the earth, but the purpose also is He comes for the completion of our salvation. That is the redemption of our bodies. Go to Hebrews chapter 9 with me. And there in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 28 of Hebrews chapter 9. And notice what Paul is writing here in Hebrews chapter 9 and in verse 28. He says this. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Now what is he speaking of there? He is speaking of the bodies, the redemption of the body. We are going to have a changed or a glorified body. Those that are both, those that are resurrected and those that are alive and remain. We could not endure the presence of the Lord in these bodies. But he has designed whereby that our salvation will be consummated or completed with the redemption of our body. I think, as I've already read, and Paul writing in Corinthians, and there in the 15th chapter, and in verse 51 through 58, he said this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Now notice, "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." There's a purpose for that. That is so that we can be in the very presence of the Lord, and we can dwell there in his presence. "So when this corruptible shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now listen to what he admonishes in saying, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So, the purpose, he comes for his people to take them from the earth. He comes, secondly, for the completion of our salvation. And then, thirdly, he comes to take us to the Father's house in Jerusalem, which is above. John 14:2, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In other words, we're taken to the Bema seat. We're taken immediately into the Bema seat of Christ. Now this is going to be another message in its entirety. For in Romans 14 verse 10 and 12, "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." So there is the purpose of taking us from of the redemption of our body, taking us from this earth, taking us to the Father's house, taking us to the judgment seat of Christ. And then the very purpose, I believe, is summed up here in this fourth chapter of 1 Thessalonians and verse 17 and 18. Now look how it's summed up. In 1 Thessalonians 4, 17 and 18. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds." Now look, to meet the Lord in the air. Now look at this purpose. "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." There will never be another time that we won't be with him. Now there's a lot of events. There's a lot of things that are going to transpire. There's a lot of things that are going to happen, and there's a lot of things, I believe, that we'll notice as we go through this series of biblical prophecy. But when the Lord comes for us, the purpose of his coming and one of the fulfillments of it is, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now don't talk about us. Now you know what you're thinking is. You know what people's thinking is when they go to heaven. You know why they want to go to heaven, what they want to go to heaven. But the whole thought is here, so shall we ever be with the Lord. You see where the emphasis is? The emphasis is, the place is in the air. The person is the Lord himself. The people are those that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb that Jesus went to Calvary and shed His blood for. And in time, through the preaching of the gospel, we're saved. And the purpose is to take us out. We get away from the very presence of sin. We get out of these old bodies. And we receive a body, a glorious body, a body fashioned like unto His glorious body. It won't be hard at all to be forever with the Lord. I mean, it's completely. And of course, I realize and know that He comes as a bridegroom to the true churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. I realize and I know that. Now, let me just sort of bring this together. This is four messages I've preached here to you tonight, just a short while. But now, and that's why that I've sort of didn't know how to pace myself exactly as far as time. But now let's sort of bring this together as a conclusion. The rapture is ever imminent. It could be tonight. We ought to be looking for Him. There ought to be a longing in our heart to be with the Lord. I think that's really what happens when we come into the house of the Lord, in the presence of the Lord. We want to come there to worship the Lord and to be where He assembles with His people. Also, there's the resurrection of the righteous will take place. The righteous, resurrected and translated, will meet the Lord in the air. And He comes as a bridegroom. James admonishes us. When James said in James 5:8, he said, "Be also patient." Now listen. "Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Now look at that. Patient. Establish your hearts. We ought to be patient in the things of the Lord. We ought to be patiently waiting for the Lord. And we ought to not be weary in well doing. And we ought to be established in our hearts. We may die, but so what? We immediately go with be with the Lord. We may be living, but the Lord's coming, and we're going to go to be with Him in the midst of suffering and persecution. We should exercise strength and patience. Now, I believe that there are conditions, and there has been even since Paul's day, but I believe that these conditions are seen, and I have a whole message on the signs of His coming. The condition of the world is coming. Paul talked to Timothy about it. And here's what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and there in verse 1 through 5. He said this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now listen to this. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." This is 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. "Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And this is what caps it all off. "Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now I'm not discouraged. Things do not look good. Present conditions are not good. Evils lurks and evil abounds. But we know the Lord's coming. We're saved by the grace of God. And so what we must do is that we must get our eyes off of circumstances, and we must place our eyes on the Lord and to recognize we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We're victorious in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that conquered death, hell, and the grave, and is alive at the right hand of the Father, and the one that is coming. You know what we ought to say? "Even so, Lord Jesus, come." That's what we ought to say. Are you ready? Are you ready for His coming? Are you saved by the grace of God? Are you set apart to the service of God through sanctification? Are you really serving the Lord? The closer you go to the Lord and the more in service, the more you'll look for His coming. And the more that you will desire His coming. So I'm thankful. And I think that I'll conclude that right there tonight. I'm thankful for the rapture, which is the event that is going to transpire and is going to take place. And it could be. Now remember the place and the air, the person, the Lord Himself, the people, those that have been saved by the grace of God. And the purpose is that we might be taken out of this old sinful world, might receive our glorified bodies, and might then forever be with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved tonight, I pray that it would please God to impress or to place upon your heart. And it takes the Lord to do this, the urgency of the hour, the time in which that we live, and we're living in the days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest things that could happen to you tonight is to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, which comes by being quickened and then through conversion of repentance and faith. And this is the work of Almighty God.